Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 58. My name is John. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. I'm trying to get caught up, and this looks like as good a time as any to do so. Over the summer, there was a discontinuation of the tool that I used to publish this podcast. That caused me to change over to a new tool. In the process, I lost the original website and all of the uploaded podcasts. I still have not had time to get everything back on the revamped website. But it will happen. Eventually. Because the change happened around the same time I had a vacation with Gina and other personal business to attend to, I missed a podcast. When I started this nearly 5 years ago, I had set a personal goal of doing one 30-minute podcast per month, or at least averaging one per month. But that missed month put me behind, so I'd been hoping to make time to get caught up. It's December. I have a little extra time to myself this month, and I have something to say about Christmas. During the Peanuts podcast, I mentioned that Linus's line, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown," is inaccurate. So, it seems like the right time for it. Ah, what the hell. Why not try to get caught up with podcasts like I promised I would do 6 months ago? So here it goes. Let me first get this out of the way, just so there is no confusion. As I am right now, the man I have become, I don't like Christmas. It is my second least favorite holiday, and there are quite a few things about it that annoy me. It wasn't like that growing up. I loved Christmas when I was a kid. I loved decorating the tree, looking at all the Christmas lights. The extended family would get together at great-grandma and great-grandpa's house every year, and I vaguely remember those early Christmases because I was still very young. But when my great-grandparents passed away, it was moved to Grandma and Grandpa's house. Every year, there was turkey and or a ham, usually turkey, and we would always have a feast. After we had our fill of the wonderful homemade meal, we'd all cram into the little living room, and Grandma, who was the piano player at her church, would play Christmas carols, and the whole family would sing. Somewhere along the way, we picked up an odd little tradition. We started singing the parody of Deck the Halls from the old Pogo comic strip. Now, the lyrics were utter nonsense, but Grandma and I were the only ones who remembered them, so at first it was a duet, until somebody found the lyrics and photocopied them for everybody. This was way before the internet. And after the singing, the gifts were handed out. Now, whoever was the youngest in the family had to pass them out. That means for the few years that I was the youngest, before my cousins were old enough to hand out presents, I passed out the gifts to everyone. Which means I had to wait until everybody else had theirs before I could open mine. After the gifts, all kinds of desserts mystically appeared back in the dining room. And at the end of the night, I would have eggnog with a generous sprinkling of nutmeg. Until I became an adult, when I could also splash in a little bit of bourbon. But long before I could add that bourbon, I lost that love of Christmas. It was no longer magical. It was no longer awe-inspiring. There were still some things I loved about it. I loved all the beautiful lights, and I still do. Last month for Thanksgiving, Gina and I were in Grapevine, who consider themselves the Christmas capital of Texas. On Thanksgiving night, their historic downtown district was just lit up with colors galore. I love that. I love giving gifts, or to be specific, I love giving Gina gifts. Other than that, I hate shopping. But she loves it, so she buys gifts for everybody on our behalf. And every year, there are three things I absolutely have to watch. And I definitely recommend them to you. Although, the first two are likely already traditions in most households in America. Number one, and this should be obvious, A Charlie Brown Christmas. People who just don't get it may think I spent the previous two podcasts mocking it, but I think it's clear the beloved nostalgia that I spoke of in its regard is what I truly feel for it. I'm almost to a point where I can quote the whole thing. To me, there is no more quintessential holiday tradition or slice of Americana. Number two, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The Chuck Jones animation is an absolute home run. I mean, how do you not love that evil grin from the Grinch that just seems to keep going and going? Max the dog still makes me burst into laughter when he ends up at the back of the sleigh and just shrugs his shoulders. I don't know how I got here. Granted, the ending is a little disappointing, but what can you do? Number three, Mystery Science Theater 3000, episode 312, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's like Ed Wood trying to make a Christmas movie. Cheap sets, lousy acting, some old Martian that makes you want to try whatever it is he seems to be smoking, and the cheesiest looking polar bear costume in cinematic history. Highlighted by a very young Pia Zadora playing a Martian child. Yes, Pia Zadora. Look for it online and get it. You will be glad you did. I actually loved it even more when Riff Trax did a live show on it last year. And to be honest, they did an even better show earlier this month based on another horrible Christmas movie, 1959's Santa Claus. That was I'm laughing so hard I almost passed out kind of funny. So, while the holiday in general is one of my least favorites, don't get me started on Valentine's Day, there are a few redeeming qualities that help me muddle through. So what changed? What made me go from a wide-eyed child of wonder to this admittedly curmudgeonly middle-aged man? An epiphany. But not the kind people normally associate with the holiday. No, this epiphany was simple. Christmas is a sham. This is widely considered a religious holiday. So, let me start by looking at this from a religious point of view. The religion is supposedly based on the inspired word of God collected in the Bible. Okay, fine. I'm going to read to you right now every scripture that supports the idea of an annual celebration of the birth of Jesus. Yeah, there's not a single scripture in the entire Bible that in any way supports an annual celebration of Jesus' birth, nor any kind of celebration of Jesus' birth on any time cycle. There is simply no biblical basis for it. The idea of Christ's birth in winter is even anti-biblical. It's more likely that it was in early autumn. It's the wrong time of year. Furthermore, Christian scriptures advise people not to be a keeper of days. In other words, annual celebrations are pointless. There are some hardcore fundamentalists who don't even believe your own birthday should be celebrated. In fact, if you look over the history of Christmas, you'll find quite a bit of debate on the validity of its existence. It's been banned several times in societies in Europe and areas in the United States because the dominant religious beliefs in those places, at certain times, believed the Bible forbade such silly celebrations. No, there simply is no scripture to support Christmas as a religious holiday. Christmas is nothing more than a questionable celebration that managed to gain traction over the years to become a tradition. Why? Well, you have the Jewish Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, which is celebrated roughly that time of year, but it was still a relatively new celebration when Christianity came on the scene. There was the Feast of the Son of Isis that was celebrated on December 25th, that dated back to Babylonian times, and that was pretty festive. My kind of festive, if you get my drift. The Romans had their Feast of Saturnalia that was celebrated on the winter solstice. So there were a lot of celebrations and excuses for partying. I mean, what else are you going to do when the days are short and there's little farming to be done? So, nearly 400 years or so after Christianity debuts, there's no longer that thrill and newness of a fresh philosophy. Christianity, in its unadulterated form, is a pretty strict mental discipline. Let's be honest. One could make the case that a major part of Christianity is learning to find contentment in misery. So you have leadership that is several generations removed from the original, and a group of followers who see all these other religions having celebrations. Some of them are pretty rowdy. That actually presents a couple of problems for the Christian leaders. First, how do we keep our followers from deserting us for those more fun religions? Second, how can we show those people on the outside that we can have fun too, in a more disciplined way, of course, and bring them into our religion? What if we have a special celebration of our own? What if we do something centered on our Messiah? Well, the scriptures teach us the most important thing is his death, but we've already got rituals focusing on that. And really, what fun is that, celebrating some poor guy's horrible death? How about his birth? Yeah, it'll be great. We'll do it right in the middle of all these other celebrations so our followers won't feel isolated and people on the outside can see that we have fun too and maybe they'll want to give us a try. We'll tell people that we need to celebrate the arrival of our Messiah in the world. we'll have a special mass for Christ. A Christ mass. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Truth be told, if you distill it down, the reason for the season is getting and keeping people's butts in the pews. Not that time has changed things. There are scads of celebrations and rituals that the myriad denominations have introduced over the past two millennia that are designed to give their followers something to do. Something to look forward to. Something to keep the focus on the fidelity to the religion. Oh, and of course, when you keep those people in and maybe bring a few more through the doors, you also get your tithes and offerings coming to the leadership as well. So, I'm sure the knee-jerk reaction is that I am anti-religious. Wrong. I do not want to forbid religion to anyone who wants it. I do not want to ridicule people who believe something I don't believe. Well, maybe tease them a little, but good-naturedly. I do not want anyone venomously attacked for having an honest and peaceful philosophy, even if it clashes with my beliefs. There is a long history of too many people on both sides of the debate mocking, hating, and hurting each other for their supercilious ends. You know what Christmas means to me? Christmas means waking up at my leisure, having breakfast with Gina, opening presents we bought each other while the cats play with the opened gift wrapping paper, with music from my iTunes Christmas playlist playing in the background, always ending with the Chipmunk song and "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," then snacking and eating dinner while cuddled up on the couch watching movies for the rest of the day. Hopefully with some good beer as well. Nary a mention of the Christian Messiah, except for whatever happens to be mentioned in the iTunes playlist music. That's what Christmas is all about, to me. I do not expect anyone else to adopt my meaning of Christmas. By that same token, I will not capitulate to someone else's definition. If you want Christmas to be commercialized and have it be all about shopping and partying and trying to impress everyone, then please do so, because that's your right. If you think Christmas is a joke meant to keep those Christians as mindless sheep and you want no part of it, then please avoid it as best you can, because that is your right. If you want to make Christmas about the birth of Christ, that's fine too. Please, you have the religious freedom in this country, and I support your right to do so. However, no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you plead, no matter how much you really want to convince me, please don't try to tell me that this holiday is based on Christ's birth. That might be the stated reason, but it is not the true motivation. And if you want to view me as a villain, then fine. I'll be Zoom. Zoom is one of the Flash's rogues gallery, specifically the third Flash, Wally West. Now, this is important because he was a very unique villain. His motivation to be a bad guy was to make Flash a better hero. He attempted, and sometimes succeeded, in doing bad things because he believed Flash would up his game, so to speak, and become stronger for it. I'm challenging those Christians who are lovers of the religious side of Christmas. And I'm not telling you these things because I want you to fail in your belief. I'm telling you these things because I want you to seriously think about what you've been told and whether or not it syncs up with what you read in your scriptures. I really mean what I said earlier. Religion in general, and Christianity in specific, is a strict mental discipline. Unless you are already mentally predisposed to the requirements of religion, and I seriously doubt most people are, then you need to do constant examination. You need to examine yourself to see if you are really doing everything you can for what you claim is such an important part of your life. You need to examine your scriptures to see if there is a greater understanding you can achieve or a finer point of the discipline you need to practice. You need to examine your teachers, your preachers, your leaders to see if they are accurate in their dissemination of your scriptures. And you need to examine your scriptures to see if you have an accurate translation or if you have one that is lazy and convenient to some man's agenda. And I make these challenges because I would guess that the number of Christians who do all these things is infinitesimal. I left the Christian religion because I could no longer be a hypocrite and live my life the way I wanted while keeping up quasi-pious appearances in church. I chose to be true to myself because I no longer believed the discipline would help me achieve happiness. 10 years later, I'm happier than I ever was in religion. It is one of the better decisions I've made in my life. If you think I'm full of shit and want to stick to New Testament philosophies, more power to you. I wish you well. I want you to be sure you are making the right decision for yourself as well. The Christian scriptures tell you that if you are asked about your faith, you should not simply say how you feel, but you should also give some reason for your faith. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there who would scoff at the very idea of using reason and faith in the same sentence. But the idea is that you give a brain-based answer as easily as you give a heart-based answer. For example, I still believe, even though I have left religion entirely, I still believe there could be a creator. I think most people view God as some old guy who's kind of human-like, looking over the earth from on top of a cloud and haphazardly influencing humanity. I think if there is a God, he, she, it is nothing like that. I think of God as a quantum intelligence on a level that we cannot even begin to comprehend. A being that is beyond this dimension, but easily able to manipulate it. In that respect, think then of our universe as a very highly complex game of The Sims. And God is the fifth dimensional creature who wrote the program. He can pause, replay, and speed up the game at his leisure. He knows everything, not that will be, but everything that could possibly be. Don't fetter your thoughts based on somebody else's interpretations. Use the discipline to help yourself understand it. The only way to do that is to question it and look beyond tradition. Am I doing this because this is what my scriptures say to do? Am I doing this because that is what some person taught me? Am I doing this because this is a senseless tradition and it's just what we've always done? Why did some denominations try to ban the Christmas celebration outright? Why is the modern version of Christmas influenced more by Charles Dickens than the scriptures? Why, if this is a Christian celebration, are so many pagan rituals incorporated into it? Or any pagan rituals, for that matter? Why, if the message of religion is so great, do we need these carnal stimuli to keep people focused on the religion? If your methods are anti-scriptural, how can the end result be righteous? If this is the true motivation behind Christmas, what are the true motivations behind other aspects of the religion? One of the more obscure Thomas Jefferson quotes is, "Question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear." Don't just do something because that's what you were taught or that's how you were raised. Do it because you've looked at it yourself and found you want to be a part of it. That kind of goes to the problem with holidays in general. Holidays are, in essence, rituals. Ron White, the comedian, tweeted earlier this week, "I see the Valentine's decorations discreetly piled up behind the Christmas trees in some stores, just waiting to pounce. It never ends." And he's right. Here's how it goes. Celebrate the New Year. Celebrate a dead civil rights leader. Celebrate a couple of presidents for some reason. Give someone you love a Valentine, Irish for a day. Paint some eggs in another pagan-inspired Christian holiday. Remember soldiers who died. Celebrate the birth of the United States with hot dogs. Celebrate work by not working. Celebrate soldiers who are still living. Send the kids out to get candy from the neighbors. Eat some turkey. Do this shit I've been talking about all podcast. And repeat. Holidays eventually trivialize the very things they are meant to celebrate. Memorial Day is more about what sales you can get on a mattress than remembering fallen soldiers. I am loath to see what they will have done to Martin Luther King Jr. Day 50 years from now. And really, as much as I dislike Christmas, that doesn't hold a candle to how much I hate the idea that if I don't do something special on February 14th, I am somehow not a loving person to my wife. Valentine's Day is the most vile, evil, disgusting, atrocious, fetid pile of aberrant, decaying waste to ever be unleashed on humankind. But I digress. This is about Christmas. There is one thing people can do that would make this a more palatable holiday. I ask that you please give this idea consideration. As a libertarian, I am not a fan of using lies to manipulate people's behavior. That being said, if you're gonna sell kids on the whole naughty or nice rule, then don't let them have presents if they misbehave. What better way to convince a misbehaving child that nice really means nice then the bratty little bugger coming down the stairs on Christmas Day to find nary a present under the tree with his name and coal, not joking here, literal coal in his stocking? If you're really smart, you'll have someone write a note just in case the little demon has learned to recognize your handwriting. A note from Santa that tells him, I've seen you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know that you've been bad, not good. So here's some coal like I promised. Do better next year. There was a news story about a couple of parents in Utah who canceled Christmas this year because their kids were behaving like brats. Bravo to them! Now they'll behave. Remember that episode of The Simpsons in the early years where Bart was misbehaving so Marge sends him to his room without any dinner? And Homer tries to get him some food, but Marge is able to stop him initially? As Bart sits in the dark, he thinks to himself about his actions and his hunger. Just as he is about to learn his lesson and realize that he needs to behave and be a better child, Homer finally sneaks in the food. And Bart victoriously eats, knowing he broke his parents' will and he never learned his lesson. That's what happens when you tell kids to behave or else they don't get presents. But you give the brats presents anyway. To paraphrase Jack Nicholson, this holiday needs an enema. But that's never going to happen if people just keep going about their business content with what some so-called religious leader tells them in order to keep the donations coming in. It will only perpetuate as people continue to blindly follow their religion without question. It's never going to happen if people let the rut and routine of carefully spaced annual holidays keep them from examining the rhyme and reasons. It will only perpetuate as we continue to let fabricated importance keep us from thinking. It's never going to happen if poor behavior is forgiven in the name of some saccharine-dripped Hollywood-esque sentimentality. It will only perpetuate if we enable the little fucker's bad behavior. It's never going to happen unless we manage to get a little reason in the season. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.